The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Well, good morning. We are back in our series called Restoration Project, and today's lesson is called What God Doesn't See in You. What God Doesn't See in You. So let's open up with a word of prayer and get going. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and the love that you have for us. I pray that you'll speak to us today, Father. Let my words be your words. God, let our hearts be open, because there's a lot of healing and a lot of challenge in this message. Thanks, Father. Your name. Amen. So, what God doesn't see in you. Got your Bible turned to 1 Samuel chapter 16. If not, it'll be here on the PowerPoint for you. Now, the Lord said to Samuel, "You've mourned long enough for Saul. I've rejected him as king of Israel, so fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." Now, a little backstory to this. Saul was king of Israel, but through some cowardice and some really, really bad decisions of his own, God rejected Saul and said, "Oh, you're no longer king." Now, this was tough for Samuel because Samuel loved Saul. But God told Samuel, "Hey, time to move on." Yes, that was a bad experience. Yes, something that shouldn't have happened happened, but it's time to move on. So Samuel goes to Jesse, and he says, "Hey, bring all your sons forward." So when his sons arrived, Samuel saw the eldest. He saw Eliab, and here's what he thought. Look at verse 6 and 7. Oops, hit the wrong button. 6 and 7. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Well, surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him." So Samuel worked his way through the sons of Jesse, seven of them. And each time he knew, the Lord hasn't chosen this one. So Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "Well, they're still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one, anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And Samuel returned to Ramah. This little passage of Scripture tells us an awful lot about the grace of God and how He chooses us for His glory. We're reminded that when God looks at us, there are some things He sees and some things He doesn't see. So that's what I want to look at today. I want you to remember, first and foremost, God doesn't see you as others see you. Others see you according to their limited knowledge and understanding, but God sees you as you really are. And He sees you for what you can become. Just like the little Fiat in our pictures, how it started out as a wreck and it's slowly working its way toward completion. You see it in the opening video and then running on the road. God sees you as you can be, not as you necessarily are right now. So we're looking at three things that that others may see, but that God doesn't see in you. First of all, He doesn't see you as unnecessary. One of the most telling aspects of this story is that Jesse brought all of his sons to Samuel because of who he thought would be king. And God said, "No, none of these are the one." David was so unlikely to be named king that they didn't even bother bringing him up. They just left him out there with the sheep. See, as far as David was concerned, as far as his family was concerned, David was unnecessary. We see this again in the following chapter when David goes to meet Goliath. Goliath's defying the armies of Israel. David comes to the scene of the battle and he gets scolded by his brothers for showing up. Look what his brother Eliab said. Remember the oldest one, the tall one? David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men. He was angry. "What are you doing here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." Now, it probably didn't help that David showed up with a bunch of cheese. He runs, these guys are all on the battlefield. "Here's some cheeses and some bread from our father." "Right, what are you doing here? Come on, you're not supposed to be here. You're just a kid. Go take care of those few sheep. Go on, just go back to where you came from." No, that's not the way God sees us. Now, we've all been told in certain situations, we've been told directly or indirectly, "You know what? You don't really have anything to offer here. We've been told your help isn't needed. We can get by without you." It's such a weird feeling to just be dismissed like that. It's such a weird feeling to just be said, "Well, you know what? You're not necessary here." I got news for you. God doesn't see you as unnecessary. In fact, you are very necessary. God doesn't leave you out. There's something you can do for him. There's a contribution you can make. And that's important because we get caught up in all of this. "Well, you know, I just don't know. I've been so bad for so long and I'm a lump. I'm nothing. I'm worthless." Stop it. Or as I've told you before, the Greek word, baloney. Baloney. Stop acting like that. Stop looking at yourself the way God doesn't look at you. Start believing that God has something great for you to do. You are not unnecessary. Quite the opposite. He also doesn't see you as having age limitations. Look at verse 11 again. And Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "Oh, then they're still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." So David comes and he stands among his brothers, and Samuel anoints him to be king of Israel. He anoints him with oil. And that's when the Spirit of God comes on David. And it says the Spirit of God came powerfully upon David from that day on. Jesse knew that one of his sons would be anointed king by the prophet Samuel, but David wasn't considered because of his age. See, as far as Jesse was concerned, David was too young to be king. But he wasn't too young as far as God was concerned. Now, in our world today, we got kids that are growing up way too fast. Way too fast. They're exposed to some experiences a lot before they should be. And I know there's all this stuff about trans in schools and all this other stuff. You know what? I heard somebody say, and it's true, when I was a kid, I didn't know anything about my teacher's family life. You know, I might have known if they were married, but I didn't know their husband's names. I didn't know their kids. I didn't know where they went on vacation. It just wasn't stuff that was talked about. We were too busy learning about arithmetic and English and history and, you know, all the important stuff we should have been learning in school. Our kids are just inundated with just junk, stuff they shouldn't be inundated with. But in other ways, we make them grow up too slowly. You know, we tell them, "Well, they're just a kid. You know, what can you accomplish at your age? What can you do?" When I was a youth pastor, I had a guy in my church tell me, he said, "Look, you're putting too much pressure on these kids to win the world. You're putting too much pressure on them to be spiritually mature. The best you can hope for is for them to stay Christian until they become adults, and then they can start contributing to the church." And I looked at him and I said, "If I believed that, I wouldn't be a youth pastor. I'd go be a pastor." And I'll tell you, when I became a pastor, I didn't become a pastor because of that. I became a pastor because that's the next place that God had for me. Don't look down on youth. Don't look down on them. I read this, Raymond McHenry quotes a story from the Pastor's Update about a high school student he met in Nigeria. The student spent his free time on Saturday hiking 5 hours into the bush to preach to a village who'd never heard of Christ. The student was met with strong opposition from idol-worshipping leaders, but he persisted. And as a result, several villagers accepted Christ, and soon a new church was planted within their village. In just 2 months, more than 100 people were meeting each week for worship in a mud brick church the people had built, including the tribal chief. The course of history was changed for this entire community because of the commitment of one teenager. Now, it's been a long time since I was a teenager. Half a century, as a matter of fact, since I was a teenager. So let me be quick to add, you're never too old to make a difference either. There may come a time when we retire from our jobs, but we will never retire from our true vocation in life, and that's serving God. My grandfather pastored literally until the day he died. He was pastor of a church I spent the last year of his ministry there going up every other Sunday and preaching in his church. And he would preach the Sundays I wasn't up there. And I think it was a Wednesday when he laid down to take a nap and he woke up in heaven. But he would tell me, "Jerry, I can't quit preaching. It's what God wants me to do." And I believed him. See, I retired from the sheriff's office. I never really totally retired from being a pastor. I've done Bible studies on the road. I still write. My true vocation is serving God. All the other stuff is just what I did to pay the bills. My true life mission is to serve God. And I'm 66 years old and I'm still going strong. In fact, it's probably the worst kept secret in America right now, but I'm coming back to Remnant. I'm going to be there in second Sunday in November. November 9th will be my first Sunday back in Remnant. I bought a house in Yuma. It's closest to California as I get with actually having to live in California. So I bought a house in Yuma, and I'm going to be driving over on Sundays and sharing preaching time with Jeremiah again. I'm excited. I can't wait for it to happen. So don't tell me I'm too old, because I'm going to do this as long as I can. See, thing is, you'll never outlive your usefulness. Ever. Third thing, I love this. He doesn't see you as having limited possibilities. Again, verse 11. Are these all the sons you have? There's one. There's David. There's the young guys. He's out in the field watching the sheep, tending the sheep. That's all they thought David was good for. Well, surely this guy can't be king. Well, yes, he can. They'll call me Shirley. Ba-da-ba. They didn't see his possibilities. They didn't see his leadership skills or his courage. They couldn't have guessed that in the very near future, David would boldly stand before Goliath, who, by the way, all his brothers ran away from every day. He would stand and face Goliath and win one of the greatest victories in Israel's history. They didn't know that David would lead a band of mighty warriors through victory after victory. They didn't know that David would govern his people with the hand of God in his life. All they knew about David was that he was the brother who took care of sheep while they all applied for the job of king, which they didn't get. See, you may be tempted to think of yourself as just a school teacher, or just a construction worker, or just a businessman, or just a student, or any number of things. Just a retired guy, just a young person. But God doesn't see you according to your limitations. He sees you according to your possibilities. I love the story of the bumblebee. According to aerodynamic theory, the bumblebee shouldn't be able to fly. Its body is too heavy. Look, they're little chubbos. Its body is too heavy. Its wings are too small. Scientists once said that based on the laws of physics, flight was impossible for the bumblebee. And yet, there it goes, buzzing from flower to flower, defying expectations with every beat of its wings. The bumblebee doesn't know it's not supposed to fly. It simply does what it was created to do. In the same way, people might look at you and say, "Well, you're not qualified, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you'll never make it, you don't speak well enough." But God doesn't define us by others' expectations. He defines us by His purpose. Big difference. So when others say you can't, remember the bumblebee. You were made to soar even when the world says you shouldn't. There is something great for you to do. I've always said that the goal of my life is to do something so big, so great, that everybody looks at it and said, there's no way Jerry did that on his own. He had to have God's help. Nothing's impossible with God. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I mean, He designed us as humans. The platelets in your blood are not round orbs. They could possibly get stuck that way. There's a little dish in each blood cell on the top and the bottom. It's almost like a lifesaver with the middle filled in. And because of that, it's able to slip past the other blood cells. If God designed our bodies with that kind of precision, how much more can He do with you, with me? Don't let others judge you by your capabilities. God's much more worried in not in your ability, but in your availability. God can accomplish great things through your life, but you have to believe that. You have to put your trust in Him and say, yes, God, I believe that you can do something great in my life. In fact, not only can you, I believe you're going to. That's so hard, isn't it, to get to that spot? We have so much in the world pushing down on us and telling us we can't, tell us we're not able, blah, 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 blah. You're not rich enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. But you know what? No. Don't let the world fool you. See, three things God doesn't see you, seeing you. He doesn't see you as unnecessary. You're needed. There's a job that you can do, and I think there are certain jobs that only you can do. That's why God has you here. He doesn't see you limited by your age, whether you're old or young. Thank goodness for that. And He doesn't see you limited by your current job description, no matter what it may be. God's got something great for you. So those are the things God doesn't see in you. So the question is, what does He see in you? I believe there's always a positive to the negatives. So there's all the things God doesn't see, but what does He see? Look at verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God doesn't look at me and see a bald-headed, chubby guy that's old and has got bum knees and a bad back. For some reason, God is able to look past all of that and see a person that He can use for His glory. A person who can reach out and touch lives. Look, and I'm not saying you got to be a preacher either. You know, I've told you, you don't have to change the world. You just have to change the part that rubs up against you. And that's not a job description. That's a vocation. That's who we are. That's what we do. Understand, God looks at your heart. God sees in you what they can't see. The world may judge you according to your looks, according to your money, your status, or any number of things. But God looks at what really matters. He looks at your heart. And it's as simple as this. When your heart belongs to Him, He can use you. When your heart belongs to Him, He can use you. It's important for us to recognize that God sees something in us. That God has greatness inside us. That God has something tremendous for us. Not only as a blessing to us, but as a blessing to others and a blessing to Him. To give glory to Him. Don't sell yourself short. God's got something for you. And He wants to do it in you. He wants to work in your heart and your life. But you got to let Him. What's God want you to do? What does God have for you? And maybe you're sitting there right now and saying, you know what, Jerry, this is such a new concept. I don't have any single idea what God wants me to do. That's okay. That's okay. Let him figure it out. Just go to him and say, God, you know what? I've got no clue. But I want to know. I want you to show your love to me. I want you to show your grace to me. I want to be a servant, a warrior for you. I want to put on the armor of God, and I want to go, and I want to go do something great for you, God. If that's your heart, nothing in the world can stop you. David was some freckle-faced kid, but he cut off Goliath's head. There may be a Goliath in your life right now. God's bigger. God's ready. All he wants is for you to say, I'm ready too, God. Here I am. Send me. Let's pray. God, thank you. Lord, you love us so much. And you've got great things for us. God, I pray that we will quit letting the world dictate to us what we can and can't do to you, for you. We will quit letting our own self-defeating, our own lack of care and lack of confidence hold us back. God, instead we'll have confidence that you have called us, that you have great things for us. Thanks, God. Thanks. You don't see any of that other stuff, but you do see something great in us. Thanks, God. Thanks. I love you. Amen. All right. What are you going to do now? You can come up with a million excuses. Oh, okay, but Jerry, but you don't know this or that. You know what? I don't know, and I don't care. Here's what I do know. I serve a great big God who's able to take a bald, chubby guy who could stick his face in a bowl of dough and make gorilla cookies. And he's able to use him to teach on the internet, to write things. That's what God's doing in me. What's he going to do for you? Because I got news for you. I know it's hard to believe, but I'm not special. But God is. All right? Love you guys. See you next week for the last in our series. And then I'm going to see you in person November 9th. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Let's go.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to live.